All right, recording.
So, I got a question. What is the BSA policy on co-joined twins, formerly known as Siamese twins? Now, you've been scouting a lot longer than me. What is the policy on, now, do, okay.
In regards to what?
In regards to what? Okay, so do they have to pay two separate recharters?
If they're two separate.
They're co-joined.
Well, I know they're co-joined, but if one, yes, they have to pay separate recharters.
Okay, so they have to pay separate recharters, right? Now, what if one of them doesn't even want to be in the Scouts? But, of course, they have to go. Do they still have to pay recharge?
Because
they're there all the time.
I would say. Well, they would have to be covered under insurance, but.
Do you think the insurance is counting them as two different people? Or do you have one? Okay, that's a different question.
I mean, you know,
if you have your kids are co-joined twins, do you have one insurance or two insurance?
Were there conjoined twins at camp?
Well, you know, no, there weren't. But you're supposed to be prepared, right? So in case this comes up, I want to be prepared, right?
Okay.
All right, so.
Well, I'm going to have to say that I would have to do some research on that, but.
Okay, all right. Now, let's say one is lazy and doesn't care about Scouts.
Okay.
And one is all about it and advancing well, right?
Yes.
Now, what do you put on the uniform shirt there? Put two different badges?
Well, like I said, it depends on where they're conjoined at. Do they wear one shirt or do they wear two shirts?
I'm picturing the classic, like...
conjoined at the chest?
Well, you know, the shoulder or whatever, you know. Horizontal conjoination. Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, the question still applies, but... Yeah, they can't be surgically separated because whatever medical, all right. And they're going to share a shirt. Let's just say that. They're going to share a shirt. And one of them wants to be the bugler, and the other one wants to be the librarian. And one of them's not even a scout because it doesn't care. The other one's a life. So what do you do with that shirt?
Well, you have to make a special shirt. First.
Okay.
And by doing the special shirt, you can make the modifications. Except for the one sleeve.
So you're going to call out the one kid for not promoting with their conjoined... You're going to embarrass that child.
No.
And like this one gets a life rank and you get a nothing because you're lazy.
Two separate people.
Well, are they, though?
I mean, they're...
How many votes do they get?
Two.
Do they? How many seats in a truck do they get? One.
You get the bench seat.
The bench seat. All right. So we don't know the answer, really. So I'm just saying, we need to figure this out, because here's another thing. Now, if co-joined twins go walking off, do they have to go with a buddy?
Yes.
They do? So
yes.
They need another buddy?
Yes.
Needs to be three of them?
Yes.
Well, you just said they're not the same person.
But if something were to happen, they're conjoined so the other one can't go back for help. So they would need a buddy.
Okay. Wait, so if they're... How do they do their buddy checks when they're swimming?
You have...
How many swim tags do you make for conjoined twins?
What?
You make one swim tag.
With both their names.
But you say, okay. But then they have to do their buddy checks with another person?
Yeah.
A regular, not conjoined person?
I mean, it could be another conjoined
person. Now, okay. So, this is how this came up. And you'll see why it's logical. Braden and Hunter told me that as a registered BSA lifeguard, they can supervise the swimming of 10 people. 10 souls.
Okay.
10 human beings.
Okay.
10 people.
Yes.
Now, if we have 5 conjoined twins in the troop.
There's your 10 people.
Is that 10? Or is it 5?
10.
You just said one buddy tag. Because they qualify together as swimmers or non-swimmers or beginners. So, can a certified BSA lifeguard watch 5 pairs of conjoined twins or 10 pairs?
5.
5. That's what you're...
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
As long as we're on the aquatics. Let's say one of the conjoined twins wants to take snorkeling, and the other one doesn't.
Then that's...
Now what?
Well, that's something that they have to figure out.
Oh, so they have to agree on merit badges. Okay, so you're
saying they don't have to agree on
all
their merit badges.
They can't take separate merit badges now. What if one of them wants to be a snorkeler and the other one doesn't?
Well, one of them has to give.
So they're not entirely separate. Now, and this costs some. Now, I understand your reasoning on that. You're very right.
Oh.
It just was an interesting hypothesis. I don't think that the scouting organization has really thought about the ramifications of one troop having 10 pairs of conjoined twins.
I don't think they have either.
Yeah, but it could happen. All right, but here's the other thing. What was the other thing?
Was it in regards to aquatics?
No. Yeah, I don't remember the other thing, though.
Shooting?
No. Oh, yeah. So if one looks down the scope, there's a thing.
Yeah.
If one pulls the trigger, do you give them both a merit badge? Or do they get one merit badge to split between the two of them? Like, how do you arrange these sashes? They only got one left shoulder, and you got all these patches. One of them's got a bunch of patches, and one of them's got no patches. What do you know? Because one's lazy, remember? I already said that. That's Dorothy. She's lazy. It's a lazy one.
Well,
Sandra, she's got it together.
Sounds more to me like they're conjoined boy twins, not girl twins.
No, Dorothy didn't want to go to the scouts. So they have to split their time. Dorothy's big into campfire girls and Awanas.
Okay.
And 4-H. But Selena or whatever the other one is. Anyway, I'm just saying, for example. All right, so how about this? What are you going to do for a merit badge sash? And what if one of them recharges, but the other one doesn't? What do you do? What if one of them pays for their camp fee and the other one, what are you going to do? Don't want them. Oh, you can't come. How's that work?
I mean, do they share a stomach or not? Because that's going to depend on their...
Well, I mean...
They're grub fee, right?
We're going to get biological. We're going to be doctors now. We're like, well, how far does this conjoining thing really go? Right? What if one of them wants to be in the boys' troop and the other one wants to be in the girls' troop?
Well, that That there is a ruling on that
for conjoined twins.
No, for
I bet there's not
what
a
you
single...
what is on your birth certificate is what troop you go to.
Well, let's just say one of them's that's the way it is. Okay. Well, so it depends on what the doctor wrote down. Okay. Now let me ask you this. Now I see an opportunity, right? Like if I was a conjoined twin, right? And my brother, he wanted to get an Eagle Scout, and he wants to go to Harvard, and he's going to be a molecular engineer, you know, University of Science stuff.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know.
Yeah, that you've already done.
No, I just got awarded for my own self-study science. I don't want to mislead anybody. I did not get University of Science accreditation from attending University of Science.
Okay.
I was just awarded in respect to my endeavors.
Your contributions to science. Yeah, okay.
You know, because I've invented some pretty awesome stuff, like the peanut butter syrup hot dog, things like that. Crunchy, though. Anyway, so here's my thing, what I was getting at. So, a me kind of person,
yeah.
If I had a really... a studious and motivated conjoined twin,
yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, dude, study a lot, get smart, do all that stuff, get your Eagle, you know, go to Cornell, become a nuclear physician or whatever. Nuclear physician. Anyway, and I just they'd be like, you never do anything, you're so lazy. But
and you just say, I'm just riding on your tails.
Right, yeah. Right in. Like, because I'm going to buy that $50,000 truck, then what are you going to? Well, I'm going to ride in there with you, man. Can't get rid of me. Well, I'm going to buy this big old hut. Oh, yeah, me too. I guess I'm moving in with you. What can you do? Nothing.
You can't do it?
I think the BSA needs to plan. You need to be prepared with a co-joint twin policy. Because I saw a lot of postings about a lot of things in that camp.
Yeah,
and
not
I saw
one.
Not one.
Twins.
Yeah. Not one mention.
Not one thing.
Not one That's little crazy. Thing. I don't think they're prepared for that.
I don't think that they have thought it. That they have thought it through.
That was my question to you.
Okay.
So you're saying.
Well, you know,
if you're swimming, you're co-joined twins, even though you get different blue cards and advance separately, you still have to have a different swim buddy? Can't you be your own swim buddy at that point?
No, you can't. You can't be your own swim buddy.
Well, what about the two-on-one rule? Like, if you got to have a talk with Dorothy.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Selma?
Sandra.
Yeah. Sandra comes along, of course, because you're having a talk with Dorothy. Now, is that two-on-one? Or do you got to bring another set of conjoined twins over there? Now, it's four-on-one. What if you're conjoined twins? Are you on two-on-one?
Then you get,
are
then
you
you're
two
covered
on
two deep leadership.
Yeah, you're too deep leadership wherever you go.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just saying, I need it spelled out. I want it in black and white. This is what I'm going
to
send.
Well,
when I go,
send
no,
that
you
to Nashville.
Better believe me. You better believe. When I finally go to that big round table meeting, everybody's been trying to, Mr. Blair, want me to go to, this is going to be the number one issue. On Troop 122 Scoutmaster B Troop plate that we need to resolve right now, tonight. No backing down.
I want
a clear cut and dry, and I want to know about that scuba diving thing and everything else that I mentioned.
Have you met some conjoined twins that...
Never in my life.
No, I haven't.
Never. But I'm going to be prepared, I tell you. I'm going to that big old round table, and I don't even think they have it. I bet that table's a rectangle, just like all the rest of them. I'm going to go over there, When they make me go, if they get me to go, you know what I'm bringing up? The BSA's conjoined twin policy. That's what I want to know about.
Because,
you know, everybody's worried about minority populations. That's the most minority of the minority population. That's the smallest of the small. So
I wonder what the birth rate is on conjoined twins these days.
Well, I think it's pretty low. I think not that many. There's probably like less than 0.01%.
But we don't want to exclude anybody.
We don't want to exclude anybody, even robots. Well, that are under 12 or over 12.
Robots?
Yeah.
Do robots have birth certificates? Are they...
You said any one meaning. Now, here's the thing. Let's not get into semantics too much, but a little linguistical history. One meaning a singular entity in itself. One can be a banana. One can be a robot. One can be a human. So you don't want to exclude any one. Bananas are obviously already included.
Obviously.
Yeah. Now, robot being a singular entity. There's some ones we want to exclude.
I mean,
some.
There are.
Now, see, get that. See where that word "some ones."
Yes.
There are some ones we want to exclude, like Hitler's. Or the one Hitler. Anyway, that's not the point. I'm going to go to those big old important things they always want me to go to, and that's going to be my topic of conversation. And they made me do a web roundtable Skype thing. Guess what we're talking about?
They're doing them in person now, not on the web.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That we need revisions for who joined twins. The PSA policy. I think they should definitely be able to be their own swim buddy. And they should count for the 2-on-1. And I don't think that they should promote together. But they should only have one recharter fee.
Okay.
If they share a stomach. These are the things that they're, you know, your regular... That's why you need active science people from science universities, science,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Because
this isn't like your regular folks think about this stuff.
That is for sure.
That's why you need, like, some scientist guys.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yes. More scientist guys like you.
Yeah. I think that they should just come up with a clear black and white policy on this. So that, you know, put to bed once and for all. Because we're going to get negative media about this if we're not prepared.
We definitely don't need negative media.
Let me ask you that. That's another thing. Think about it beyond. How many driver's licenses did you join 2017? Like, if they go buy beer, do they check both of their IDs? Well, they're obviously the same age, right? Yeah, but what? And here's another thing. What if they were born on the border? One of them's a citizen, the other one isn't. What do you do? I actually need some clarification from the government on this, as well as BSA. I will die on this hill.
You got a lot of hills that you
I'm just glad that wasn't 37 pounds of cast iron.
Right.
Oh, you're a teacher now. What's the policy there?
We can join twins in school?
Yeah.
I have not found that clause in the...
Well, how do you stop them from cheating off each other's paper? I know you're going to say it, but it's contrary to the other thing you said, so therefore you're not going to say it.
What?
You said you count them as one. If one knows the answers and the other one doesn't,
Not unless they shared a brain.
Well, that if would just be a dude. That would not be a co-joined. If you're
why?
One...
They could have one head and two bodies.
That would just be a dude with an extra body. That's one dude with an extra body. Co-joined twin, I'd have two heads. Separate heads. Otherwise, it's just, you know, a dude with two bodies. Or it could be a chick with two. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense. That's never happened. It's always someone with two heads. Or somebody with two heads. Some people with two heads. Somebody, some people, I don't know. Are we singular or plural here?
You put a something between their heads.
Something between. I'm gonna put like a plastic sheet between them.
Yeah.
So to take their tests separately.
Yeah.
Well, now what if they were taking different classes than each other?
Well, then it doesn't matter.
One of them signed up for fifth period PE, and the other one signed up for AP chemistry.
Well, they can't do that because you can't be in two places at once.
Well, a singular entity can't be in two places. Some one, but this is some two. Is it some one, or is it some two? A singular entity. Well, except in advanced string theory, but it normally cannot be in two places at once. You're correct.
And they can't be separated. They can't be separated.
We're treating them as different people, are we not?
They are different people.
Oh.
But they can't be separated, so.
One of them signed up for water polo. The other one signed up for mammals. What are you going to do?
They go to both.
Camp director. You're the camp director. Scott's completely unprepared. I mean, I think, from what I've heard, I feel like the school system is unprepared as well.
What I'm thinking, the entire society is unprepared.
Right. I haven't seen a lot of two-seater toilets. I mean, like, legit. Like, they could both sit down.
I don't know. You've had the two-seater toilet in camp this time.
Yeah, those were like, there was like 3 feet between them. That's not going to work for them.
Which I thought was weird because
back in the day there used to be like a divider board between those two. And got most of them.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll go to round table. Yes. Next time I'm back. Please, it's our turn to present. We come to round table, whichever we have to do round table. And guess what my topic of conversation. Just take a wild turkey shoot. Oh, speaking of turkey, yeah, a wild shot in the dark. What I'm going to bring up.
Man, that makes me want to be there and not want to be there at the same time.
Now, one thing I learned in my years of certain time. You might not know this, but I was in the military for a while.
Okay.
I still do dabble.
Still dabble.
And special. I do all these special operations.
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
And not like special operations like Green Berets and Rangers and stuff.
Yeah.
But like when they absolutely 100% need it, like it's imperative that'd be screwed up immediately, they call me. I'm the guy that can mess it up. Right? That's what they use me for. Man, here's the thing. So, oh yeah, I learned something. I learned in the military, anytime somebody's asking you to do something, or demanding that you do something, or ordering you to do something, and you really don't like it, and don't like doing it, screw it up real good. And nobody will ever ask you to do it again. So that's my plan with this roundtable stuff. Next time it's our turn. And it'll never be our turn again. Or at least mine.
I was going to say, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Just be the G troop every time it's 122's turn. Well, you have to come up with something equally as ridiculous.
I did.
Yeah. Here's another thing I thought about. You know that Robin Williams movie where he's old but he was a kid?
Yeah.
Or he's a kid but he's old or whatever, you know? What about that? That's a real disease.
It is a real disease.
So, what is, which timeline are we on?
Chronological age.
Chronological? He doesn't have time for that. He's gonna die.
Well, then
you gotta let him join before he's 12.
10 and a half.
Or whatever. You gotta let him join when he's like 4. That's the only way he's gonna get able by the time he is 70, but only 17 and dies. Right? That's what I learned from the movie.
Well,
that's a real disease.
It is a real disease.
I love cracking jokes on the kids and I got no idea. Actually, you were there for that when kid was talking about something. I was like, oh yeah, the movie Mask with Cher. Yeah, I think that was it. I just go, yeah, that's a real disease. Yeah, but anyway, the guy, blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't even know what a messed up movie I just mentioned to you. That traumatized. I never thought that was like, why? God, that poor guy. But at the same time, I was like, I'd be his friend. I'd hang out with him. I was like, that poor guy. You know, we had Steve the Burnt guy in our town. I still recording. Oh, Lord. Now, I hate to mention Steve. Okay, this is private. So
yeah, I don't think this whole recording is going.
Okay, sure. So there was a Lifetime or something, not Lifetime, but it was a made for television movie, yeah. Right? And it wasn't called Steve the Burnt Guy. Of course not. Jeez, that'd be a horrible name. Anyway, premise of the movie, it's one of those classic like Lifetime does now. Abusive, crazy husband, you know, beaten 80s wife with her knitted sweater, doesn't know what to do. He's just so mean. Anyway, so, but she keeps living there, even though he's like smashing bottles into the dresser.
Yeah, I don't think that's just in the 80s. I know people that are dealing
with that. No. Here's the thing, though. He was throwing record players and Beta tapes. That was in the 80s.
Okay.
You can't smash Betamax in the 90s.
If you find them.
You have to go specifically try to get a Betamax to bring to your house to smash. And who's going to do that? This is the smashed a, anyway, that's not the point. What he smashed. It was the 80s, all right? That's when it was.
Okay.
From science.
Mind you.
All right. It was a flippin' 80s, right?
It was the 80s. It was a great time.
Yeah, well, except for this guy.
Yeah.
Right, so, this guy, he's a classic Lifetime guy of the 80s. Smashing Betamax and, you know, some record players, but also tape players. It was confusing, and the 8-track was kind of still around, but not really. Anyway, he's just smashing the house. Right. And, like, that stuff that looks like it has, like, farm stuff on it, but it's just a stupid porcelain plate. And they put farm things on it.
Yeah.
And everybody liked wearing orange and brown for some reason. Anyway, that time. That's not the point. All right. That's not what I'm talking about here. Right, it's the 80s. And this guy's abusive husband, dude. Right? This is the show, made for TV movie. Right?
Okay.
And the wife finally says, I've had it with him getting drunk and smashing the Betamax and our 8-tracks and our LPs and, you know, MASH laser. That was 90s. Our, you know, our paraphernalia left over from Woodstock and whatnot.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to divorce him. That's it. I'm out. I'm moving out, right? So she moves on. She takes the kids with her. That's it. The guy that likes to smash all the vintage 80s items that were specifically and only to the 80s, he comes home and says, oh, man, that wench, she left with my kids. I'm really mad, and I'm a big jerk, so I'm going to get drunk. Now, this is a made-for-TV movie. This is what he does. He goes over to where they moved to, the apartment, the friend's apartment, or wherever they went. And he says, hey, kids, I'm your dad. Like, oh, yeah, we know you're, we already know you because you're a dad. They're like, you'd have to say that part. It's like, oh, my bad. Well, it's me. So, you know, let's go have fun and do stuff. And the daughters are like, no, Mom said not to go with you because, you know, you're a nut job or something. You're crazy. It's like, no, but I'm your dad. So we already established it. We know this already. Like, we're not going with you. But the son, the little son there, he's like, what are we going to do, Dad? And Dad says, hey, we're going to go to Disney World. Yeah, I'm taking you to Disney World. You know, the older ones, the daughters, are like, that's horse crap. There's no Disney World in Texas. Right?
Yeah.
All right, so he gets the kid in the boy in the truck. This is a true story, you know, made for TV movie, you know, right? This isn't funny. It's funny the way I'm saying it, but it's not. Anyway, this part's not funny. Anyway, so he gets him in the truck. No, it's not funny. It's terrible. Anyway, he gets him in the truck. He says, take him to Disney World. Takes him out to a field out there in Fort Worth. He kicks the kid out of the truck. He douses some gasoline. Lights him on fire. On fire. Kid, it burns off his ears, it burns off his nose, burns off. The kid's just totally just wrecked. Right? Somehow the kid lives, right? So they made this made-for-TV movie about the kid trying to recover and everything. Now that was a true story. Now, the guy went to prison like forever.
Oh, you know? I would hope so.
Yeah. And but Steve, little Stevie, in the movie. Well, he's a real person, but he's portrayed in the made-for-TV movie. He was, this is all on fly these days. He was referred to all around that area. He lived there. He played basketball there. Great personality, always positive. You know, he was always one that invested younger people and, like, into sports as much as he could, but he couldn't breathe heavy very long because of the damage to his lungs and stuff. But, Great guy, but constantly everywhere referred to as Steve the Burnt Guy. And he didn't have a problem with it, and everybody knew who we were talking about. Because there's too many Steves. I guess that's the point of that. Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with conjoined twins, but I'm saying Steve the Burnt Guy, yeah, he's a real guy. Oh, sure, masked out. Yeah, that's where it went. Last I heard, he was doing all right. Last I talked to him, he was getting a new nose. He didn't have one most of my life.
Oh, you knew this guy?
I knew this guy. He was a little bit older than me, but I knew him. Everybody knew him. How could you not know Steve the Burnt Guy? Since you said him, you know, Steve the Burnt Guy. He's a great guy. Don't burn. But, you know. Oh, you get super positive personality. All the time.
How old was he when it happened?
He was like 4 or 5. He's a kid. A little kid.
Why is that oil from
the Hutchins Pigeon Spring.